it's a great thing when people recognize you and come to see a piece of you we haven't seen before. And it's a great thing when people from other side of the globe who get to know more of you because we get to know of each other. So thank you for this morning, these great friends of ours that are leading us to a new place. Amen. Hey, why don't you turn around and say hello to somebody close to you? Have a seat. Hey, that was awesome. That was awesome. That was great. Well, I'd like to welcome someone on stage that you may not have seen before. Her name is Eleanor Sitole. Please welcome Eleanor up on stage. You might have heard of Titus Sitole. This is the pastor of this church, his wife. So everyone, hello, say hello to Mama Rute.
Hello.
Now, Mama Rute, tell everybody what Mama Rute is.
Mama Rute means a pastor's wife. This is a language in Sotho. A pastor is called Muruti, and Mama Rute is a pastor's wife.
Now, we're so thankful that you guys are here with us today. They all go back home tomorrow, and we know that when we all come out to see you, we come back and we talk about all the things that we've learned and the ways in which our church has impacted from being around you, which it has. And so we're kind of curious, now that you've been here 7-8 days or so, when you go back to South Africa, what are you going to be saying about us?
We're going to tell people in South Africa that how you people, we are going to tell them about your hospitality. When we first came here, how you welcomed us in your homes. You gave us food. You gave us clothes. You drove us around. We're going to tell them that we were driven by white people, which is very rare in South Africa. I personally has never been driven around to the mall, to the church, everywhere by a white person. This is not because we are like politically minded, but this is just the fact that something that we have experienced. We've been hosted very well in your homes, and may God bless you about that.
Well, it's easy for us to host 40 of you. It's a different thing for you to host 600 of us. So
it was a challenge for us. We were talking together with other people that when you come, how are we going to host us? Because you have set the standard. So it was just a concern. But we have learned many things, of which time will not allow me to say them all. But let me say two more things. Another thing that we have learned is the love that we have seen in the families, how a husband loves a wife. We always see a husband seated next to his wife, which is a wonderful thing. Now, Pastor Brian knows, sometimes when you come to our church, a husband is seated here, a wife is seated somewhere there. So, but we have seen how wives loves their husband loves their wives. Have I said it right? And how parents love their children and how children love their parents. They set up in the family. For us, it was a lesson and a challenge. So we're going to tell them about that when we get home. But the other thing that has challenged me and is still challenging me now is how you brethren are doing a work without a salary, how you volunteer to do things. Like last week, we went to Cincinnati downtown. We picked up thrashes. Some of us were painting, renovating, doing some different works. And we were doing that without a salary. Now, you must understand that with us in South Africa, because of our backgrounds, whereby in the entire family, no one is working. Or you realize that maybe it is only one child that is working. Both parents are not working and the other siblings are not working. Because of that, any job given to us, we desire a salary. So, but we were blessed to be here to see how you work without encouraged by a salary. I think that's what we'll go back home, tell them, and try to do it.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why we wanted you to come here, because we also go there and we learn in equal partnership. We have today, your 40 folks are serving all around the church. Mm-hmm. Some of you, when you came in, you didn't just have someone holding the door like our folks did, but your folks were like hugging on people when they came in. And holding kids back in kids clubs, scrubbing toilets, because we have volunteers to do that around here.
Wow.
And your hope is to sort of import that volunteer service attitude back to your place.
Yes, and that's what, like, my husband Titus said, that we should go and volunteer so that the grace that is upon the brethren in Cincinnati at Crossroads, the grace of volunteering will be upon us. So we're actually rubbing our shoulders next to y'all so that we may receive that grace to volunteer.
Ah, that's awesome.
Uh-huh.
All right, a couple of things I want to let you know of. First is, not this Wednesday, next Wednesday, we have Next Level, which is for people who want to go to the next level. We have some outside speakers coming in, also some internal speakers to talk about some things that is in the Bible. Also some more time for worship and prayer. Great thing. Don't miss Summer Nights at Next Level. You can also get a brochure at the Information Center if you would like. Also at the Information Center is one of these things that you got if you did Go Cincinnati. Around 3,000 of us did Go Cincinnati Next Steps. If you said, boy, that service was really great serving people, and I'd like to do more of that and build relationships with people who are in need. There's some opportunities for you to look at on here, so you can just pick up one of these things as a next step out at the Information Center. Now, Eleanor, what happens right now in our services is I do this thing, it's called an offering disclaimer. I basically say, now's the time for service to take up an offering. If I started this, everybody could probably repeat it word for word because, like, okay, we heard that before, I hold that before, and then we do that. But I'm just curious, how do you do it in your church? Let's have you set up the offering today. What happens?
Okay, when we take offering, as some of us knows who have been to South Africa, during the time of offering, the person that is taking offering will announce or will shout and say, it is offering time. And the people in the church, women will start ululating. They will make a noise like, and then the men will start whistling. So we do that every Sunday. And that does not mean that we have...
So they actually get happy when there's an offering.
Yes. We get happy. And that does not mean that we are happy because we have money. No. We are happy because it is time to sow. And we believe that our money is a seed. A church is a good ground. And as we plant our seed, it will grow. And we trust God that in times of need, in a good time, we'll be able to harvest. So for us, an offering time is a blessed time.
All right, so go ahead and while we do that, we're going to be able to take a look at some replay footage from Go Cincinnati, but why don't you go ahead then and by the way, I'd be curious if people do this, because most of the time we don't get cheers, we get hand signals when we take up offerings around here is what we most of the time get. So I'm curious what magic you have. So go ahead and set up the offering.
Okay, shall I announce that it is offering time, and are the ladies prepared to whistle? To luluate, and the men to whistle. It is a blessed time. Amen.
Yeah.
So it is offering time. God bless you.
They're back. Bigger than ever. Not like 1,500 people. Look at this. We got like 3,300 people for Go Cincinnati. Here, come here. Follow me. Hold it. We gotta. Hang it. We're not just like 70 places. We're going like from Burlington all the way up to Hamilton. Brad 2, you got it figured out?
Hey, you know what? I've been thinking about the Brad 2 thing.
Yeah.
Just call me B-Deuce.
Hey, Deuce.
Yeah.
Figure out where we're going.
How about we just head in this direction?
Excellent.
All right.
Then go right over here.
All right, Deuce, this is it. First stop, we hit them all. We work together. We push. We talk. We bring the tears. We grab them together. We feel the moment. We get Go Cincinnati. All right?
I got it.
Go get them.
All right.
What are you guys doing today for Go Cincinnati?
We are weeding, mulching, and etching.
Nice.
Making it all nice and pretty.
Nice. You got a whole team of people over here.
We do. Family, kids.
Me? What made you want to do this?
Because I think it's nice to help people.
Today's going to be a huge help for us because we have about 43 acres here and about 4 maintenance staffs. Having 38 people out here today to help us for 3 hours is really a big help.
All right, so I'm here at Pleasant Ridge Elementary School. We've got people doing all kinds of stuff here.
So tell me, what are you and your volunteers doing here at the school?
This is a Montessori school, and we are painting a mural of prehistoric plants and animals that goes sort of around this semicircle of a room.
How many people are here doing this stuff with you?
We have, I think, 23 here today.
23?
Yeah, it's great.
Thanks, Liz.
Yeah.
Go City! All right! Woo! Go City! All right! Look at how clean this looks.
You getting it done?
Yeah.
Getting it done?
Yeah.
What do you got done here?
We're weeding this bed.
Weeding this bed. This yes. bed looks good.
You're working it.
Yeah.
Would you rather do anything else than weed on Saturday morning?
No.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. We get kids to lie.
There's kind of an extra sparkle in your eye on Go Cincinnati Day.
Yeah, because you guys just did so much for us. I'm so grateful. I mean, we wouldn't be able to operate this school without the goodwill of the community and folks like you.
It's working.
Oh, it is. It's amazing.
You guys are doing the dirty work.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm Brad. How are you?
Hi, I'm Bonnie.
It's like we're painting lockers in here, huh?
You need boxes moved.
I do. Are you into moving boxes?
Deuce loves to move boxes.
Go Cincinnati. Hey, what's going on? That's what I like to see. That's right. Here he is.
Hey, Deuce, look at this. Look at this. Bryce Starr, we're going to people around the block.
We are excited about you and your folks coming over to be a part of this with us. This is amazing. How's it going out here?
Well, it's going great. This is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see so many people come to volunteer and to help out. That's been great.
Oh yeah, I'm working it.
All right.
Working it,
all right.
Man.
Working it hard.
We're trying to get the hands around the block. I think we're gonna make it this year. It's gonna be awesome. We're gonna feel the power of God. I believe we're gonna lift the foundations of the world today.
All right, everybody, check your pits.
We are praying that the Lord will release this block to Bright Star Baptist Church so that we can build a family life center and a 1,000-seat sanctuary so that we can change the face of this community.
So we know you had some folks from Go Cincinnati with the red stickers come in today.
Oh, it's been a blessing, you know, because the people in the streets get to see you guys ministering, you know, and around and helping and volunteering.
You getting it, big fella?
I am. Brad, I got to tell you, you are awesome. CW, yeah. I don't know what they do without you on CW.
12.
Okay.
How's this working out for you today?
This is just wonderful. Just wonderful.
What's happening?
You guys are doing our floors and making it look like a better home for the guys.
What's this going to do for some of the people around here?
It's going to make it feel like it's really home for them. Somebody on Channel 12.
See, at least you got the right station.
I'm trying to think of your name.
Yes.
Yes.
Johnson. Yes! All right, where's the money?
Well, Brad, we just came from a lot of sites in the West End, right near CityLink Center. This is where we are now, man. This is one of the ways we're going to change the city.
This is Kurt with the City Gospel Mission. We're back again. Did they do any work today?
They did too much work. They
Get
did all.
Here.
They did it all.
What did they do for you?
They did all the cleaning. They did everything. They rearranged everything for us.
How are they making you look now?
They're making me look good. They're making me look good.
Making you look good.
Yeah, it smells good, too. Yeah, it smells good.
I like
you can take out the
smell-o-vision.
There's hardly anything on these shelves. They were stacked to the rim with boxes, and these guys have just, like, worked their butts off to get this organized. It's organized, and...
Can we get some shots of the butts to see if they've worked them off?
I just am not the guy that's as good as you when it comes to Man on the Street. I mean, when it comes to Man on the Street, you rock. I mean, you know, all the stuff you do on Channel 5, powerful stuff, man. There's no one better.
12.
Right, Channel 9. When you're on Channel 9 doing your thing, there's just nothing better. So
12.
Oh, my. My. And God, I pray that we would get an attachment to our city, just like those of us who served had an attachment on that day. I pray that we would continue to be attached to this place that we should be calling home. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. I grew up in a very monochromatic existence. Grew up in suburbs of Pittsburgh, and I remember at 15 years old making my first trek into the city with friends. I'd been there before, but going with friends into the city to do things you shouldn't be doing at 15. In fact, you shouldn't be doing them at 41. But yet I remember going there and feeling the energy of the city. I don't know if it was big. I don't know if it was unusual. I don't know that if it was that the city didn't sleep. I don't know if there was activities there. I couldn't get wherever I was, but there was an energy that took place in the city. When I first started walking with Jesus around age 15, age 16, there was this phrase that people used to use back then. They used to say, we need to get back to the garden. And what people were referring to was the very first couple chapters in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, where there's this perfect garden, the Garden of Eden. And when people would say that, they're saying we need to get to a way of living that is more pure, more pristine, all that kind of stuff. But the interesting thing about the Bible, as it progresses, it becomes less rural, less suburban, and more urban. In fact, to the very end of the Bible, the thing that is the ultimate thing is the city of Jerusalem. And so I don't think we need to focus so much on getting back to the garden as getting to the city. Every great thing that happens in our world, every movement starts in urban areas. And in the early church, the early followers of Jesus had as their strategy to go in and make cities their home. And from there, it spread to the countryside. Here in Cincinnati, we've got about, on average, 10 people who live per acre in the Cincinnati region. 10 people an acre. In the first century, there was this, you might have heard of this city, it's called Rome. There's also a book in the Bible called Romans, which is all about people who were living in Rome trying to honor Christ. Rome had 150 people an acre at that time. That wasn't like when they had 3-4 multi-level stories. 150 people. In the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, it's written to the church in Corinth that had 200 people per acre living there. And the early followers of Christ would go to different urban area, and the message then spread out into other areas. We also see books in the Bible where the central message is about going and being a blessing to the city. One story we're going to look at today is from the book of Jonah. Most people only know Jonah as this controversial thing of whether or not he had a cell phone or not. Jonah was this guy who actually got swallowed by a whale, and people are always going, okay, well, is that a literal whale? Is that a figurative whale? Well, you know, is that what's all that about? But the story of Jonah is not about a whale. It's about God saying to him, I want you to go to Nineveh, a city. It's a city he didn't like. It's a city that his nation Israel was actually in competition with and at war with it oftentimes in their history. And Jonah doesn't want to go to the city to deliver a message. So he actually goes the opposite way, and God, to get his attention, gets him thrown overboard on a ship, and he gets swallowed up because God's saying, I want you to go to a city. In 1900, 5% of the world's population lived in urban areas. Today, it's 50%. And only increasing. Let me tell you why I love cities. Four reasons I can think of. One is this. Wherever there's more people, there's more of God. You know, I love creation. We're going to talk about creation in a couple weeks. God loves creation. It's a great thing to get out in creation and enjoy beauty. It really is. But God doesn't live in trees. God lives in people. And so it just stands to reason that the more people there are together, the more opportunity I have to see more of God. Another thing I love about cities is that cities give me a more accurate view of God. The further you get away from cities, the more monochromatic things are, the more you just see one channel of God. But in cities, there's multi-cultures, multi-ethnicity, multi-colors, multi-ages, multi-experiences, all that stuff. They come to the urban areas. And everyone comes to the urban areas. People from all different countries come to Cincinnati if for no other reason than to get an education and go back. And you see different ways in which God operates in cultures, the different ways of the artistry of God. God doesn't just have one palette painting one color. He has a palette that has all different kinds of colors and backgrounds. You see it in the city. Another thing I love about the city, is where the movement converges. The movement of God converges. All the things that God does to bless and change the world. It happens in a city. It's the center of business. It's the center of the judiciary systems. It's the centers of education. It's the centers where arts and entertainment are. Arts and entertainment are birthed here in the cities. They then get exported later on out to urban or suburban areas or rural areas. But in cities, it's where all these movements all come together and can be impacted simultaneously. The other thing I love about the city, last thing, is it's where the world is influenced. The rest of the world takes its marching orders from what happens in the world's cities. It's the world's cities that set the pace. And even though there's great industry that happens out in the further reaches areas, it's because the brain children who live in urban areas where they have corporate headquarters set up other plants outside of other places. It's where people get their inspiration for art while in the city, that they go camp out on the hillside and have incredible artistic things. Cities, if you want to influence the world, you have to influence a city instead of flee and demonize a city. The book of Psalms, there's chapter after chapter of somebody's personal prayer journal writing things down. And you see repeatedly Jerusalem comes up in the midst of this book. And for the Jews, Jerusalem doesn't mean just a city. It means a center for their spiritual identity. It means a hope of what God's going to ultimately do in all of creation. But at the same time, when they refer to Jerusalem, anybody who lives in a city ought to think about referring to Jerusalem the way they did to their city, the way we should refer to the home city that we reside in. So here's what Psalm 122 says. It says, Jerusalem is built like a city that's closely compacted together. That's where the tribes go up. Different people groups go up. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you, love your city, love your home city, be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadel, security within your institutions. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. Saying, the city of Jerusalem, my home city, I'm seeking for your economic development. I'm cheerleading it. I'm praying for it. I'm praying it's a safe place for everyone who lives there. I'm praying and excited. There's all different people groups that come, different tribes. Yay, 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 yay. Go, 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 go. What might it be for those of us who are connected to the city of Cincinnati? No matter how far it is you drove to get here, Cincinnati is your home. You ought to be thinking about Cincinnati the way they thought of Jerusalem. What might we pray? Well, if I adapt that prayer from Psalm 122, it would go something like this. Cincinnati is built like a city that's closely compacted together. It's where all different kinds of people groups live. Pray for the peace of Cincinnati. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within the 275 loop and security within your governing systems. For the sake of my family and friends, I will pray. Peace be in and through you. For the sake of what God is doing, I will work for your prosperity. For some reason, we have fantasies and desires to flee the city. And when we get successful, if we ever get successful, the better off we get, the further and further away we want to get from cities. And I want to encourage us today to consider the opposite. And what happens if you embrace your city? What happens if you seek its prosperity? What happens if you're fired up about it? Well, four things I'd suggest you could do. Number one, get to know your neighbors. Get to know your neighbors. You probably know the verse that Jesus says, well, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you don't know your neighbor, you can't love your neighbor. Don't quote all these kind of interesting spiritual platitudes. If you don't know the name of the dude two houses down and his kids, get to know your neighbors. That's a part of the city. That's a little city. Wherever there's people, there's a city. Regardless of the transportation system and the education system, wherever there's people close together, there is a city. And you got a little city in your neighborhood. Just get to know your neighbors. So last week I was coming home and wanting to go to my house, wanting to get inside of my nice secure citadel. You know, my nice fortress of solitude. So I came home at the end of the day and there was this slip and slide. My youngest daughter was trashing the front lawn, which is already trashed anyway. She's doing a slip and slide thing in the front lawn, and slip and slides are magnets for other kids, and other more little kids come around, so parents come around, make sure they don't drown in the slip and slide. So is there, I kind of say, hey, everybody, I just walk right past all the neighbors, and I go up inside my house to my fortress of solitude, and I get inside there, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to be talking about knowing my neighbors this week, and I just blew right past them. That's probably not a good thing. I'd probably apply what I want people to do. So I Went in, grabbed a few beers out of the refrigerator, came out, hey, let's talk. And we sat around and we sat for about an hour and a half and just talked about life. And I got to know the neighbors. It was cool. And I felt God was smiling on that. I don't know what it is, but we're in a city where neighbor is divided against neighbor. We don't want to know them. We don't get into their world. In fact, when the first time you come to Cincinnati, one of the things that you're impressed is how divided the city is, how we don't know each other. And we're at odds with one another. I mean, name how some of these things work. You got 75, which divides East Siders and West Siders, right? West Siders and East Siders. Ne'er shall the twain meet. You got the river. Divides people who are in Cincinnati and people who are in northern Kentucky. Cincinnati proper and northern Kentucky. There's just this barrier. We're divided. And people wear their religious affiliation on their sleeves. Oh, I'm Protestant, or I'm Catholic, or I go to this church, or I go to that church. It's this way to differentiate ourselves from other people. Then you got Elder St. X, Coleraine Highlands, that whole thing. You know, it's fun to have nice rivalries and cheer, all that stuff. But I think it's also a matter of we're divided. We don't embrace other people. We want to get our little thing that we're, and you don't have it. You're not a part of it. I'm here. You're not. And I'm in competition with you. You see Xavier. Cincinnati it's known two ways. It's known as the northernmost southern city, and it's known as the southernmost northern city. Let's go there, shall we? Let's go there. Skyline and Gold Star. You know, you got Skyline, Gold Star. I mean, that's the big, you know, topic is bringing everyone. I just think that we need to get to know people who are in different regions of our city. Get to know your neighbor. Here's another thing you can do. You can encourage our leaders. Encourage our leaders. The book of Romans is speaking to these people who are in Rome, and they're under the authority of the Roman leaders. They're in this tightly compacted city. And look what it said to them. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants. It's why you pay taxes to Rome, because the authorities, that's the officials of Rome, are God's servants who give their full time to governing. What does this mean? It means that the way God has cities operate is by having people in leadership positions. And maybe God isn't a stark raving fan of the decisions that every official makes, but God has put officials in place and uses officials to get a city to go in the right direction. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. We'll think, well, yeah, well, I'll give those people honor as soon as they have earned it. I'll give those people respect as soon as they've earned it. That's not how we treat our taxes. That's what's talking here. No, you do your taxes no matter what, or you go to jail. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, hey, when you're under authority, you give your taxes and you give respect and you give honor. Encourage your leaders. And all of us know that if you're in a position of leadership, you perform better when people who you're trying to lead encourage you. I was convicted of this couple, I don't know, a year and a half ago or so, when we were in the midst of the big city link debate. It's still going on, but a while ago it was really hot and heavy, front page news, all kinds of misinformation that was going on around there, all kinds of accusations. And there was meetings, and I don't want to go into all of it right now, but there were meetings that took place that on an official level that were against bylaws, were just not right, and things have just really seemed to me really slimy. And I kind of wore my feelings and my sense of my sleeve during that period. And then I started thinking about verses like this in Romans. And I thought, you know, I need to encourage these leaders. So I wrote a personal note to every person on city council. And I said, hey, I know we disagree about this issue, but I want you to know that I know that you have the best intentions of Cincinnati in your mind. And I know you work hard. And I just want to tell you, thank you so much for working hard doing what you do. Some of you are going, that's stupid. Why would you ever say that? Well, because I want to encourage leaders. And if you're in a city, you want to cheer for a city, and leaders always get the best when you give them your best. Another thing you do, you can work your mission field. You can work your mission field. Mission field is an old churchy term that refers to, hey, let's send somebody all the way over to some other place to be a paid spiritual vigilante to go and tell people about Jesus over on the mission field. And there's still a place to do that. We at Crossroads, we decided to actually partner with people who are in cultures. That's why we're partnering with South Africa. And they, you might not know this, but, you know, they view us as their mission field, you know. So they're here partnering with us, and that's how we choose to do things here. But make no mistake about it, there is a mission field, and everybody in here, you have the ability to be a mission field. It's a place in which you live. It's the place in which you have influence. God has put you in a place so people around you can be your mission of love towards them. And sectors of our city can be influenced by you as well. Here's different sectors of every city. There's a government sector of every city, arts and entertainment, education, medicine, social services, business, spiritual, meaning, you know, mosques, synagogues, churches. Like it or lump it, this is just the way the institutions that are in every church, every city. And all of these interconnect with each other. All of these lines go to each other. All of them interconnect. And business people tend to think, well, you know, it's just getting business right in the city. As soon as we get that right, everything will be okay. No, it won't. And education people think, well, it's just education. As long as we just get people having the right test scores, then everything will be okay. No, it won't. And people who are in churches will think, well, church attendance is going down. If we just get more people to church and more people having prayer meetings, everything will be okay. No, it won't. All of these things interact with each other. All of these things, by the way, there's verses in the Bible that say these are great things and you ought to go after these things. And all of you in here right now, you probably already picked it out. You're like, oh man, I'm like, that sector, that's me. I'm in that sector. Or if you're not in that sector, you know people who are in that sector. And I think that we need to, as we encourage people to go to foreign countries and be bit by pythons, we need to encourage each other to stay here and be bit by drug dealers. Hey, you could be just as courageous, more courageous, if you stay planted where you are, be a missionary, and the way that God can use you in your unique sphere of influence. Now, Jonah, he doesn't want any of this working on the city of Nineveh. He doesn't want any of it all. And so he tries to get away. He gets swallowed by a fish, a whale, then spit up on a beach. And here's what happens. It says this. Now go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. And so here's what Jonah says. Now, on the first day, Jonah started into the city and he proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The end. Amen. You can tell he's really into this. Oh, yeah. God, you love cities. Yeah, you like them. Okay. 40 days, you all die. Amen. You know, that's his thing. His heart isn't into it. He doesn't have any PowerPoint slides. He doesn't have any support videos. There's no, like, catchy illustrations and humor. No, it's just 40 days, you all die. And what do you know? Even though he does a half-baked job, something happens and people start noticing they're not living right. Things aren't going right. They start tearing their clothes, a sign of grieving. They start putting ashes on themselves they did in that culture. They start making changes. And the city changes. They start going in a different direction. They repent. That's what repenting means. You start going in a different direction. And it says this in verse 10. When God saw that what they did and they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. So God says, wow, look how they responded. I was planning to do this. I'm not going to do this any longer because I never want to destroy a city. I love cities. And now this is great. It's going on the right track. Phenomenal thing, phenomenal. Except for Jonah. Jonah's not digging this at all. He's like, man, I want to see that city wiped out. I just wanted to go to my bucolic countryside bungalow. I don't want to go out and see that people change their city. So he goes outside of the city and he has a pity party. He goes outside, he's all grieving, he's bummed out about it, and it's a beating sun, and he puts up some little lean-to shade himself, but it's not doing the job. He's really bumming out. And God does this thing where this plant grows up and shades his head. And Jonah's like, oh, good. So that's nice. God gives me shade. And then God sends a worm and kills the plant. Dead. And it withers. And now Jonah's all bumming out again. And what God's saying is this. He's saying, look, Jonah, you know, I'll do whatever I want to do, but I'm asking to invite you to be a part of it. And I can give you shade just like that. And I can take it away just like that. And here's what it says. This is the last verse. Now by the way, the last couple of verses is the point of the whole book. The point is not the stinking whale. The point is not, there's a literal figure. That's not the point. Here's the point. Now the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. This is figurative language here, saying their education system is in the toilet. They know their right from their left. He's saying their education system is in the toilet, and many cattle as well. Cattle is their economic system. Should I not be concerned about that great city? God says, Jonah, I'm concerned about cities. I'm concerned about education in cities. I'm concerned about the economics of a city. And it kills me that so many people read this book and all they want to do is like fight for the Bible. Like there's a fish. Who cares? It doesn't matter if it was a literal or figurative fish. What matters is the point. The point is get to the freaking city. That's the point. The point is get to where the action is. The point is God works in cities. And the closer you get to the city, the more you get toward the action. That's the last thing. Stay where the action is. Hey man, I think it's great that some of us are going to make enough money in our lifetimes to have a separate bungalow by the ocean and have times in countryside. That's cool. That's great. But here's what I'm asking to do. I'm asking to consider that the ultimate calling, ultimate ability is not to be in a greater place away from the cities, but the ultimate calling, ultimate action is to be as close to the city and as close to the action as possible. Final thing I challenge you, stay where the action is. Woody Allen said 80% of life is showing up. 80% of success is showing up. And I think that's one of the reasons why urban areas aren't succeeding, because people aren't showing up. We want to go elsewhere. When we bought this property, it's a long story, very cool story. But make a long story short, after we bought it, we had organizations, companies, businesses offering 2 and 3 times what we paid for it, because they missed the auction. And we had to think, wow, you know, if we sell it for a 100, 200% profit, maybe we ought to do that. And there's only 1,500 people in the church at that point. Maybe we should just go and find some land that's cheaper someplace. And most of those people will hopefully come with us. But those that don't, we could regain it from the area that we're going to go to. And then we wouldn't have to do some building campaign and ask people to give. Maybe we ought to do that. And the reason why we stayed in the area that we are is because we felt a calling to be in the city. We felt a calling to be planted and rooted here in this area, in the city. And obviously, we love all folks and all the, you know, some of my best friends are in Mason. I like Mason. That's fine, you know, Mason. We're going to start a location of Crossroads in Mason and other places. We are. Well, someday we'll have our location of Crossroads all the way in East Bumble. And that's totally great. But we recognize there needed to be a centralized, concerted effort in the center of city limit, being in the city, because it's where the action is. Jesus loved cities. Some of his greatest illustrations, one of his greatest teachings when he was trying to motivate people was to motivate them to be a city. Here's what Jesus said. He said, you're the light of the world. You, speaking of followers of him. And a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus says, hey, when you come around in a relationship with me, you're a timeshare condo in South Carolina. No, he doesn't say that. He says, hey, when you come together, you are a beach bungalow catching waves. No, he doesn't say that. He says, you're a city. You're a city. You're a city set on a hill. When people come together, you're a city. And when you do good things, when you all come together, there's this light that goes across everybody who is in view of the city, and people can see things they hadn't seen before. They can have warmth they hadn't had before. And because of that light, because of their help, they say, I don't know what makes you people unique, but whatever you believe and whoever you know, and whoever you follow, we want that. We want that too, based on the things that we're seeing in you. And Jesus says, when you come together, you are like a city. That's what God does. He sends people to cities, and he calls people together who are a city on a hill that is a blessing to everybody who's around them. Now, the thing about our city, the city of Cincinnati, is, and every city, absolutely every city needs a measure of healing, needs a measure of help. And the irony is, you can't help those sectors of a city. And you can't help the whole of the city until there's individuals who are healed, until there's individuals who are getting over physical problems, individuals who are getting over emotional bruises, individuals who are getting over bankruptcies, individuals who are getting over awful things that have happened and scarred us spiritually. And so before a city can be healed, people who want God need to be healed. And so I'm going to invite Titus to come up right now. And Titus is going to lead us through an exercise. Everyone say hello, Titus. Yeah. I think we have the rest of your band, right? They're going to come out in a moment. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend the rest of our time today, and I talked really fast so we'd have a little more time, to where we're going to be able to have our friends from South Africa pray for us. Pray for us. We have things in here where people are bruised and in need of healing. And any of us who've gone to South Africa know that one of the things that you all do really, really well is pray. Tell us why that is. Well, why are you guys such good prayers?
Yeah, it's because in Africa, spiritual world is real. We have witches. We have witch doctors. We see things that I know if I start to tell you about, you'd be shocked. And so because of that, when people become believers, the first thing they are introduced to is the another power. We know the power of witches and wizards and all that, but then Jesus' power is superpower. And so, that's one of the reasons why everybody in Africa and South Africa pray when they come to know Christ. And secondly, one other thing we do, when we invite people to come to church, when we invite our friends, when they go through challenges and problems, we say, come to church and God will sort you out. And so when they come to church, that's where now we give people opportunity to be prayed for. We cast out devils. We lay hands. Those who are bruised emotionally. That's where in our, in Africa, where people can really find help. And also because people are poor and most people cannot afford medical insurance and all that, even though we do have those who do afford, when they are sick, they know the first place to run to is to church, where you can be prayed for. And so that's what we'll be doing to, pray for.
So in our country, oftentimes we pray as the last resort. You pray as the first resort.
Oh, yes. We, as the Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, there are pleasures forevermore. And that's where now we know that when we come to church, we're not only coming to worship, we're not only coming to hear the word, but we are coming so that God will meet us at the point of our need.
Amen.
And so that's the deal.
All right, so what we're going to do, why don't we all stand? Let's stand. Here's how it's going to work. You all are going to lead us through a song. And during that song, if you want to start filling up in these aisles and come down front, we've got South African heroic prayer people that are all up front who would love to pray for you. Just tell them what you need and they'll pray for you. If you can stand where you are and sing, that's cool too. And we'll do this song, and then at the end of the song, you can all leave, and that's fine to leave, or just stay because the line might be backed up. But if you're backed up and you got kids in Kids Club, you got to go get the kids. Then you can come back and they'll still be here. Okay? And I just encourage you to lay down your pride, and maybe God is going to do something in you that has never happened before because you haven't humbled yourself and had somebody touch on you, love on you, and pray for you. And I'll let you say and do the rest of this.